Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
Australia 4, England 1. That is how history will record it. The 2025-26 Ashes Series as Australia clinched the fifth test by 5 wickets in Sydney. So the series overall, a pair of 8 wicket wins for the Aussies in Perth and Brisbane, an 82-run win in Adelaide, England by 4 wickets in Melbourne, and then the Aussies finish strong with a 5 wicket win in 5 days in Sydney. The urn, as it has since 2017, is staying in Australia's keeping. 18 days of cricket, but it took only 11 to decide the series. Corbin Middlemass on Grandstand at Stumps, Stuart Clark and Jason Gillespie alongside me at the boundary's edge. This is just the beginning. We're on air for another 55 minutes. We'll pull it apart from every angle. The presentation of the urn to follow that as well, and all the pomp and ceremony that's going to go with it. Great to have you with us, as always, on Grandstand Cricket. It's your favourite show, Stuart Clark. I need to give you the first word. The Aussies win by 5 wickets, and they win the series 4-1. What's your initial takeaway to all of that?
Well, I think my initial takeaway is what a series it's been again. Another Ashes series that's delivered on every level, and whether it be tension and whether it be ability, player performance, it's been absolutely outstanding. And as spectators now and commentators, we've enjoyed every single moment of it. The crowds have been outstanding. The grounds, the facilities, everything that goes with it has been absolutely first class. My one is sense of privilege that I'm lucky to be out here and doing this, because the cricket's amazing, the players are amazing, and we all have our comments and whatnot, but geez, I'm standing in a very, and we all do, in a very, very lucky position, witnessing what is just such a great event.
It felt like the test match that we needed on the end of the series. I spoke with Ed Cowan, my podcast co-host, Dizzy, leading into this test match about, felt like only 13 days of cricket. It was a little underwhelming coming out of Melbourne. Felt like a bit of air was out of the balloon, and we had such great anticipation leading in, and yet the rhythm of test cricket's back. 5 days, a compelling test match. It ends closer to tea on day 5 than closer to lunch, and ultimately it's a great way to end what has been an eventful series, brief at times, but 18 days of cricket out of 25 is still pretty good bang for your buck.
Yeah, it certainly is, and probably some more air's been put back into the balloon, Corby, so 18 days out of 25, we've been thoroughly and utterly entertained. 4-1, I think that's a fair reflection of the Test series. I'm not sure 3-2 would have been a fair reflection. Australia completely outplayed England, there's no question of that. But applauding both teams for how they've gone about it. The access that we've been fortunate enough to have, by and large. But the players have been great. Like they've been very open and honest, and sometimes they get praise, they cop a bit of criticism at times, but they always come over, they're always smiling, and it's been great.
All right, first of all, the narrow side of it, which is that the test match win, and as I look over your shoulder, Dizzy, I can see that at Waterford Crystal Urn, which is on the stage at the moment, the stage has been set up in front of the sight screen at the Paddington end of the ground, which is right in front of our broadcast position. And already the snappers, there's a stage that's been set up for the television cameras, a perch, and in front of it, every snapper in the house is already crowded, sitting so close together. It's a warm day in Sydney. They want the best possible picture when the pyrotechnics and the confetti goes off and Australia get the opportunity to celebrate with the urn in their hand shortly. But the test match, so resuming today, England at 8 for 302. They added 40 to their overnight score. Jacob Bethel was out for 154. It's a memorable 100, his first in first-class cricket. Tung was out for 6. Stark got the last 2 wickets, which gives him 31 for the series. And the target of 160 was set. It wasn't all a straight line to the finish from an Australian point of view. Head out for 29, Weatherald for 34. He fell to the short ball. It hurried up on him and came off the splice, went down to fine leg, and he was caught. Tung got both of those wickets. He also added Usman Khawaja, who was out chopping on for 6 in his final test innings. Manus Labuschagne was needlessly run out for 37 by Joe Root, and Steve Smith was just clean knocked over by a good ball from Will Jacks. He was 12 not out. The two guys there at the finish, Alex Carey and Cam Green, got the Aussies home to win by 5 wickets. The day itself, obviously, will be pretty big picture in this wash-up, but what did you make of today in particular, day 5 here in Sydney?
It was another outstanding day's cricket. It started well, and Mitchell Stark early on, plenty of bounce and carry. Picked up the two quick wickets, and then look, Australia came out and started really well. Travis Head looked like he was in a hurry. He wanted to get out of there and get into the celebrations. Unfortunately, he perished, and a little bit of tension later in the day, which
little
was exciting.
Wobble, yeah,
we were, you know, sitting up there, we were, well, what's going to happen, which we all loved, and there was a bit of, I tell you what, there's a bit of argy-bargy. Mm. I don't know what poor old Jake Weatherall did to Ben Stokes, but that was sort of...
Well, he was given not out. That's what the problem was.
Pretty sure it's not Jake's fault, though, but anyway, there was a little bit of tension, and then, well, the day panned out, and Australia got the victory, and we're all standing here, but... Well, a couple of things I really wanted to say. I thought the wicket actually helps. When you get a good wicket, no matter which class of the sit, bounce, carry, and then it started to spin. The wicket started to spin. And when the wicket's spinning, the ball Steve Smith got.
That's a cracker.
That's a proper off-spinner's wicket. That would be, any off-spinner in the world would be so excited about.
Stewie, that's the best ball he's bowled in his life.
Best ball ever. Right, yeah. No, I don't have a problem with that. I can't disagree with you. It was
fantastic.
The best ball he's ever bowled.
Fantastic.
And it was great to see the wicket spinning. And then, you know, I think there was one that went for four or down the left side that actually spun and bounced, and Green got his... So from an actual day point of view, it was entertaining cricket. And if, you know, England had posted a few more, we would have got a really good day's cricket, and there would have been high tension. So well done to everyone involved at Venues New South Wales, Adam Lewis. He's produced a great wicket, and he's copped some criticism over the years.
I agree.
As we said.
But he can't be critical of this one.
You've got to give him 10 out of 10 for this one.
Yep.
All right, we're down here on Grandstand at Stumps, just repeating, Australia have won this test match by 5 wickets in the second session on day 5. Corbin Middlemass alongside Jason Gillespie and Stuart Clark, two of Australia's finest fast bowlers in front of the stage and the presentation area. Here on Grandstand Cricket at the Paddington end of the ground. And I'm also pleased to welcome in on Grandstand at Stumps former Australian coach and cricketer Darren Lehman. Hello, Boof. I'm getting to it. Don't worry about that. I'm just back announcing who's here, and then we welcome in the
should
new guest.
Should have seen the look on his face.
I was about to walk off. Not required.
The Aussie boys are just making their way into what has been the roped-off area for the presentation. And you're probably wondering why there's a roped-off area. I get the sense they're going to open the rest of the ground so to allow the patrons an opportunity to be on the outfield. I've noticed a couple of the other guys that have been part of this series. Nathan Lyons here. He's got his team shirt on. Remembering it was a squad of 16 that got it done. So Inglis, Doggett, Lyon, Cummins and Richardson, the other 5 guys used that are not part of the 11 here in Sydney. I guess the first question to you then, Boof. What will you remember about this Ashes series in 2025-26 about how Australia did it, a 4-1 win?
Well, the best one, Travis Head in Perth. That's stunned me. I mean, Usman not getting back in time allowed Travis Head to open, and it changed actually the way Australia played for the rest of the Test series. Then Travis opened, and England thought they'd bowl short. They thought that was the way to go forward for Travis Head. They bowled too short with the new ball. You only get one of them every 80 overs, and you've got to pitch the thing up and hit the top of the stumps, and they didn't do that. As soon as Travis Head went to open the batting, he took it on. He played his own trap ball, and three big hundreds that changed, and quick hundreds, changed the format and the way Australia played.
In actually thinking about that, it actually changed the game completely, didn't it? That we were talking about Usman and how quickly is he going to score and who's going to be his partner. Travis actually changed the narrative and the dynamic of the whole series.
Yeah. I mean, Mitchell Starc was brilliant, and it's going to be tight, obviously, between those two for the man of the series. And I know most blokes will probably go bowlers. Well, these two will go bowlers. But
absolutely.
For me, I just saw something that was quite special. It changed a format of an Ashes in the space of 2 hours. You look back at that game at Perth Stadium, and that 2 hours of batting was some of the most scintillating, exciting batting you'll ever see in Test match cricket.
So you've got Head as man of the series?
I'm going to batter because these two will take bowlers, but probably it'll go to Starc because you do need to get the 20 wickets, and I totally agree with the bowlers in that regard. But in terms of changing the way a team played, Australia opened with Head and then England changed the way they bowled.
The English guys just walking past us as they make their way into position for the presentation. Starc or Head before it's presented?
Look, the fast bowler in me likes the idea of Starkey, but I'm actually going for a joint man of the series. I think they both contributed so strongly to this win that I think they both deserve it.
Starc for me, 31 wickets.
250s.
He got some runs as well. I'm a Starc fan. He won us basically the first year. I know Travis got 100, but geez, 10 for.
And the other side with that Starc, that 50 he got in Brisbane.
Yes.
Where he batted so long to get to nighttime bowling was quite important.
Yeah, true.
The other thing, remember, he got he got wickets in early on too.
Yeah.
So, yes, he didn't just knock out the tail.
When Cummins and Hazelwood were there.
600-plus runs, 300s for Travis Head, 31 wickets for Mitchell Starc, who, of course, gets to the magical 30 mark, just the fifth occurrence in the last 25 years. Let's go to Aisha Gua, MBE, with the presentation.
5 days of hard-fought test cricket. They get it done. They win this last test here in Sydney to make the series 4-1. I'd also like to make special mention to the curator, Adam Lewis, and his team of ground staff for the work that they did on this surface, as we see plenty of people packing in here at the SCG. Cricket Australia would like to thank the match officials, the umpires, match referee and scorers. Your efforts across the series are greatly appreciated. Cricket Australia would also like to thank NRMA Insurance and all partners who are wonderful supporters of this incredible game. I'm joined on stage by former Australian captain Steve Waugh and Ashes legend. He will be presenting the awards. The first one is the NRMA Insurance Player of the Match. Four centuries in this one. Steve Smith, Joe Root, a maiden ton for Jacob Bethel. But for his 163 of 166 deliveries, it's Travis Head. You can't get away that easily. Travis, you've scored centuries pretty much everywhere. Your first one here in internationals, how special was it?
Pretty much everywhere, only in Australia. It's special. There's a couple of good names up there. I've always found it tough to bat here, so nice to be up the order, nice to get the hard ball, and nice to contribute again.
How did it rank with the other tons that you scored in the series?
Every 100 you get is going to be well cherished, but I probably hold the couple at the start of the series when it's on the line, and we have an opportunity to win an Ashes series in the first couple of tests. That was the pleasing part, and then I guess from a personal perspective, it's nice to finish a series in the fifth test with runs again and make sure you don't take the foot off, and what an amazing week we've had.
You certainly cemented that place opening the batting. I hear that you're in charge of plans tonight as well.
No, one of the Sydney boys, I think, so maybe, I don't know. Cummo should probably pull the weight a little bit and organise a few things. Starkey's probably ready to go after five test matches on the bounce, and Slug will do his thing.
Well, they've had enough time to think about it. Well done once again. Travis Head, the NRMA Insurance Player of the Match. Now for the Compton Miller Medal for Player of the Series. Travis Head, 629 runs and an average of 62 with a strike rate of 87 with three tons. Alex Carey, 323 runs, an average of 46 and a strike rate of 73 with 28 dismissals. But for his 156 runs at 26 and 250s, but more importantly, the 31 wickets at 19, it's Mitch Starc. Mitch, a big applause from the hometown crowd. A special moment for you, back-to-back player of the series awards for yourself. Is this the best you've ever bowled in your career?
Maybe. It feels like it's going okay. The body's still holding together, and it's a great group to be a part of. It's a lot of fun, especially when you've got Travis at the top there and in the change room. So it's been a great group to be a part of, and I'm just glad to be playing a role.
A huge impact for you right throughout the series, but more importantly, you mentioned there that the body, you're able to make it through the five tests. What did it take?
Yeah, a little bit tired. Scotty and I are on the older side of things, but we still managed to get a job done. So between Scotty, Ness and I, we've certainly been told we're not on the younger side of things, but to play the roles that we did, we're a bit tired and sore yesterday, but yeah, I think the entire squad, we haven't used just 11 players. I think it's between the players and the staff. It's been a long series, but obviously very fruitful and enjoyable to be a part of.
We've got to talk about the batting. On reflection, just how important were those runs?
Glad I got a few out of the middle at the start of the series, because certainly didn't at the end. But there's no better incentive for a bowler than to not have to bowl and stay out there with the bats. So it's nice to put a few partnerships there together. I think batting with Scotty in Brisbane was a big one for us to get to that night session and bowl with the newer pink ball under lights was a big one for us. And nice to chip in here and there, but always glad to see Heddy and those guys do the scoring.
And just last one, the McGrath Foundation, this is such a big test because of raising money for what is such an important cause. What's the significance of it for you and your team?
Yeah, it's, I guess this week's more than just the cricket. It's obviously the final test of the series, but I think between obviously England and other oppositions that come here and play this test match, get right behind it. It's fantastic to see that, not only from the opposition teams, the cricket fraternity, the crowds have been awesome. We saw day three was a huge day. So, yeah, that partnership with the McGrath Foundation and cricket, not only in this country, but as a community. We thank all the fans and the crowd for playing their part in that. And, yeah, it's just been a big test match.
Well said. Congratulations once again.
Thanks, Aisha. So.
Mitch Stark, player of the series. And now I'd like to welcome up the England captain, Ben Stokes. Welcome, Ben. First of all, how is the leg?
It's been better, been worse. Won't know till I get home.
It was a hard-fought test match all the way through. Where do you feel you lost it in the end?
Yeah, it was a great game to be involved in. Obviously, test matches that, you know, go to the fifth day and have a bit of drama there at the end is always something great to be a part of. I think, you know, we should have got 100 more, and we allowed Australia probably to get 100 too many in their first innings with the bat. So, you know, if you look at 200 runs on a fifth day there on that type of wicket, we would have been in the box seat.
Not the series you would have wanted. Do you feel like it was an opportunity missed, or do you look at Australia and say, well played, you completely outplayed us?
I think there's a bit of both with it. I think Australia, you know, an incredible team. They play some incredible cricket. You know, the individuals who stood up for them with the bat and obviously some outstanding performances there with the ball for them as well. So, you know, you've got to give them a lot of credit as well, but also, you know, being pretty truthful to ourselves, knowing that we've done a little bit damage, ourselves. So, it is a tough one to take, knowing that, you know, we know that we can play a lot better than that. But look, I've got to give full credit to Steve, Pat and the Australian cricket team. They've just been incredible for five test matches.
What lessons have you learnt?
Time for reflection, you know, properly is not right now. We've got a long time off before we play our next test series, so we've got some good time to go away and reflect on everything that not only we've sort of looked at from this series, but even series before. And come June, back in the UK, when we have our first test series after this one, hopefully we can put the wrongs right.
It's a long series, and you know, you see quite a lot of players coming through throughout the series. Jacob Bethlen and his maiden ton, Joe Root, obviously scoring runs in this game. But how good is it to see that, you know, those players coming in and doing well, including Josh Tung?
Yeah, incredible. Look, for Beth to wait for his opportunity towards the back end of the series, he put a lot of hard work and graft into his game. You know, if that opportunity did come, and look, I mean, that knock that we witnessed there was just simply incredible for, you know, a 22-year-old lad to come out in the fifth test of a massive series in a huge game to play in the way they did against a quality bowling attack on a pretty difficult wicket was, you know, incredible to watch. And Josh Chung just keeps going from strength to strength. Every time he puts the shirt on and, you know, gets given the responsibility to go out there and play a game for England, he just keeps, you know, impressing. So look, we've got some unbelievable talent to work with going forward. As I say, we've got 6 months off to the next one, so yeah.
Just last one on playing here in Australia. We've had some record crowds right the way throughout, another record attendance here at the SCG, and the Barmy Army who have followed you all the way throughout. What has it meant to you?
Absolutely everything. Look, we always get asked about the support that we receive as England cricketers, and we're so lucky and so thankful to wherever we go in the world that we have the Barmy Army and all the English supporters who, you know, come around and watch us and show us the support. And they're going to be as disappointed as us about the way that this series has gone, but that should never ever take away the gratitude and the respect that we have as an England cricket team towards the fans who, you know, turn up day in, day out, regardless of how things are going for us. It definitely means a lot, and even, you know, singing there till the end for us, it's just so lucky that we get to represent this country, but also get to represent the Barmy Army and the fans.
Thanks, Ben, and all the best in whatever comes next, and for your recovery as well.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Ben Stokes, the England captain. And I'd like to welcome up Steve Smith. Steve, you'd already won the Ashes, but how important was it to get the win here?
Yeah, it was nice to finish on a high note. We know the importance of every Test match with the World Test Championship, so to get the result here and finish the series on a high was incredibly pleasing. I think it's been a really good week. I think it was a great wicket they've produced out here. It had a bit of everything, so it was a good 5 days of cricket, hard fought, and nice to get over the line in the end.
It felt like you had plenty of contributions from everyone right throughout the series.
Yeah, it has been magnificent. I think everyone's stood up at different times. The ones you mentioned before, Alex, Travis and Starkey, were obviously huge standouts, but other guys stood up at different times throughout the series, and, you know, that's what makes a good team, trusting each other, guys standing up in different scenarios and situations, and everyone did their job, so, we're really proud of that.
I guess experience counts for a lot in a series like this as well.
Yeah, of course. It's obviously a big series. As an Australian and English cricketer, it's the pinnacle. And, yeah, we've got an experienced side. We've played some really good cricket for the last 4 or 5 years, obviously making 2 World Test Championship finals. And, yeah, we've got some guys in there that still want to keep getting better and improving. And, it's just a great side to be a part of.
You've won 4 Ashes in a row here. Why do you think you have been so hard to beat in these conditions?
I think anyone at home plays better, I think, than away. We obviously know these conditions. We've grown up with them and we're accustomed to them. So, we know how to play on these surfaces and, we did it again this time round.
A word on Usman Khawaja in his final Test match?
Yeah, he's had a wonderful career. It's been great to be alongside him for all of it. I played in his debut Test match here 14 years ago. And he's just grown as a human and as a player. And, it's been great to play alongside of him for a long time. And he's certainly going to be missed in that dressing room.
You've got an amazing squad of players there. I can see Pat Cummins over there. He came in for that one Test, helped win the game and got to win the Ashes for the side as captain. I imagine he'll be coming up here with you and the rest of the boys. But well done once again, Steve. An amazing series for your group. And enjoy the celebrations.
Thanks so much. I just want to say thanks again to England. It's been a great series. It's been good fun and you guys are fierce competitors. So, thanks for the memories and it's been a great series. Thank you.
Without further ado, you can invite your team up to collect the trophy and accept it from the great Steve Waugh here on the incredible SCG. Congratulations to Australia. They win the Ashes. They take the series 4-1.
Team is drowned in the green and gold confetti with Steve Smith and Pat Cummins both having one handle of the crystallised urn that they hold aloft in front of the sight screen at the Paddington End. The photo opportunities will continue, as will we. Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport. Australia win 4-1. They take out the 5th Test by 5 wickets here in Sydney. The man of the match at the end of it was Travis Head on the back of his blistering 100, 163 in the first innings, his 12th in Test cricket. The man of the series, well, it goes the way of Mitchell Starc, just the 5th occurrence this millennium of an Australian taking more than 30 wickets in a series. He finishes with 31. Grandstand at Stumps, Corbin Middleman, Stuart Clark, Darren Lehman, Jason Gillespie melting out here on the SCG turf. Couldn't even care about the heat. It's a magnificent sight. When you have a look around, they've roped off an area in front of the sight screen at the Paddington End of the ground where we're situated. That's where the stage is. And then outside of that, there are people as far as the eye can see that have filled up the playing arena. As you can imagine, a number of people still very much in the stands getting a view from a higher vantage point. But Australia have won the Ashes 4-1. You get the feeling it's going to be a series that will be remembered for the fact that the Aussies had to do it by committee. They used 16 different players. Pat Cummins played one game. Steve Smith missed one. Josh Hazlewood didn't play at all. And Nathan Lyon, who was dropped from the Brisbane Test match, came back to play a role in Adelaide, only to ping his hamstring and was done for the remainder of the series. So 16 different guys used, and yet the Australians got it done by force.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's exactly right, Corby. I couldn't have said it better myself. They they played great cricket. They had to do it as a team. Yes, individuals, as Steve Smith alluded to, did some wonderful things. But it was a collective, and that's what the Australians should be very proud of.
Yeah, I totally agree. They were unbelievable, considering you said how many players that didn't play. And guns. We're talking Hall of Famers, aren't we? Josh Hazlewood, Nathan Lyon played one test. Paddy Cummins played one test. Steve Smith missed the test match. So the squad had to dig deep. They had to pull some older players out, like Michael Nessa's 35, who's had a great Shield career with Queensland and done well in day-night test matches, but then played really well in the series. And, you know, Scotty Boland played all five, Stark all five. That's pretty special. Stark was man of the series for that particular reason.
We heard Ben Stokes, Stu, ask moments ago about which one does he lean into more in terms of the fact, is it a team that was just beaten by a side that's far too good, or did they leave an opportunity on the table? There's that to be debated, I'm sure, from an England point of view. But we're here to celebrate with the winners, and why wouldn't we be? Australia with a 4-1 series victory. They take out the fifth test in Sydney by 5 wickets, and one of our favourites, Marnus Labuschagne, joins us on ABC Sport. Marnie, firstly, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Pretty awesome feeling, you know, 4-1. At different stages, I think it could have looked a lot different, but, you know, it comes back to winning those big moments, and I think we've done that fantastically well this series.
We were just chatting about you've had such a settled group for a long period of time, and yet this series, it feels like one that will be remembered for the fact that you had to get it done by committee. You had so many guys absent, and yet by hook or by crook, you pulled it all together, and you were still, you know, far too good for your opponents here on home soil.
Yeah, I think that's probably what makes it even more satisfying. We've won plenty of series with the big three and, you know, Gazza toiling away, and it's very consistent. But, you know, we probably haven't won many series where we've had to play no spinner twice in a series. Three, four quicks. Guys that are probably not bowling, you know, high 130s, they're bowling, you know, early 130s, keeper up to the stumps. And I thought it was a real crafty display of, one, leadership, captaincy, everything that sort of entails those selections that comes with it. And then also the planning that goes with it, you know, with the keeper up. I mean, you saw what effect that had on the English batters. So I think that part was the part that I really enjoyed.
Marnus, the match, those 150-odd chases, they can be a bit nerve-wracking. It got a little bit tense, but what was it like in the change room?
Once I got out, I was...
No, we don't want to know about that. I can imagine what
I'll save that one for Alex after. It probably didn't get to that point where there was that real nerves. I mean, we sort of, once we lost that wicket of Smudge, I think the next over of Jack's, what we took for 15 or 20. Yeah. So that sort of just got that run rate back. And then it was just, you know, we just knew we just had to be patient. I think that was the one. I think we're all eager to get to this point where we won the series, we locked it up. So, yeah, not too many nerves.
It looked like, well done, mate. Congratulations on a magnificent series by everyone. But it looked like a pretty good 5-day wicket, that one.
Yeah, beautiful. I think you nail on the head. I think it did enough. I think the cracks sort of came into play. Once there were some fresh bowlers, there was a bit of there. I think Scott and Ness, with that, you know, in that second inning, geez, they bowled well. Like, you know, we beat the bat of Bethel a lot. And we just kept being patient and patient, and when it did speed up, we sort of reeled it back in. It was a real crafty test.
And did it spin more than you thought in the end?
I think with the spin, I think there's been a lot of discussion this week about the spin. I think the spin was great, and I think you would pick a spinner every time if you were able to bank that you're going to get 550 in the first innings.
Yeah.
Right? I think the problem is if you're carrying a spinner for 3 or 4 days before they can have impact, the test might be too far gone. You look at Optus Stadium, you know, Nathan Lyon bowled one over. And so they're probably the more crafty things. It's can we... Yeah, if we can get there every time, absolutely. Nathan Lyon, Todd Murphy would have been unbelievable at the back end there.
And your own form, you got a few starts and just missed out. Didn't cash in as you would like, but it looked like you're looking to try and score each time now. A bit of a mental change there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the four innings that I sort of got myself going, they're, you know, probably all striking at about 60, 70, maybe even a bit more. I felt like I was playing well. I just probably didn't capitalise, you know, the Gabba there, 65 or whatever I got there, and then missed out, cut shot Nick. And then, you know, once again here, got myself in, batted beautifully, and then you know, just try to push one. Probably just need to hit that square and, you know, take four instead of trying to hit it so straight. But, yeah, I mean, it was frustrating series for me. I felt like coming into the series I was so ready. I felt like my game was in really good order. And to be honest, I still feel like my game's in really nice order. So it's nice to leave the series, you know, having batted well in your last two innings and take that on into the Shield, and hopefully Queensland can win another Shield and move on.
Hey, Marnus, saw you clocked 138 k's an hour, mate. So you're going to give the...
1365.
You're going to give the quick stick about that?
Oh, don't worry. I think there's a bit of joke. Boy said, how's your neck? Because my neck just snapped around at that board every time I bowled. Check the speed gun. I mean, that's if he bowls me bounces, that's all I'm going to be doing. I'm going to try and max speed up. I can confidently say when Ben Stokes came out there, I tried to bowl the fastest ball of my life. I tried to light it up. I think it was 35.9. So,
were you keen to have a little roll with your leggies as well?
I'm going to be honest with you. Nah, not really. Because... one thing with leg spinners, if you don't bowl it a lot consistently,
right,
and you come out, yeah, it can work in a big bash game where, you know, you can bounce around. But to be a good test spinner, you've got to be, you know, back-to-back. You've got to put balls in the same area. And I probably, at this stage, can't provide you that with the ball. But I can provide you 100% effort if you want me to bowl down.
There's plenty of that. It's never, ever been in question anything you ever do. We've seen you double hundreds. We've scored in hundreds. Great catches. Celebrate wickets, where do you rank them? Because that was one of the greatest celebrations.
Absolutely.
That we were like,
I think the thing about all of those things, I've never got anything planned ever. So, you know, with hundreds and catches, it probably happens a little bit more often. So, you know, it's a bit more subdued. But me getting a wicket off a bouncer in a test match probably doesn't happen that much. So the celebration was according to the
absolutely,
the wicket.
It was great.
And also, when I went up and changed my shoes, I said, watch me burgle a wicket here as I walked out to bowl. So it was a bit of luck.
Do you have bowling boots, do you?
Well, I field in half spikes.
Right.
So I had to run off and just put the full spike on, just the front shoe, not the back shoe. I just need the front shoe for the lock-up, you know, to send it out.
Well, you're going to buy 136s, mate.
You've got to have a lock-up. Lock it up, Sluggy.
Marnus, just before you go, a word on Usman Khawaja, who, of course, you call a teammate at state level as well as for the national team. So finishes with 6,229 runs at almost 43. He's neatly nestled between Michael Hussey and Neil Harvey as the 15th most prolific run scorer in the history of Australian cricket. How will you remember him when people ask you in 10 years' time, what was Usman Khawaja like? What will you tell them?
I've learned so much from him, you know, starting at Queensland. So my journey with Usman is, you know, probably a little bit into his test journey and what I've learned from him as a player. Fantastic. I think, you know, I only played maybe 4 or 5 tests with him before he started opening. And I think when he came back here in 2021 and made those 200s and the way he played and the conviction that he came back with was awesome to see. His resilience... he's elegant. He's, I think as one of those guys, is when he gets himself in, geez, he's hard to get out. He's just got such a plan and a process. And the thing I'm most impressed with is how he's developed his game in the subcontinent. I mean, coming from where he was, went away and then came back. And when he got his opportunity again, he's become one of our best players in the subcontinent.
Thanks for spending a minute with us. Enjoy it tonight. You got a little bit of time off now. You'll be playing cricket, I'm sure, and various parts of the country and all the rest of it.
2 days, I don't know.
We'll see you back at test level in August up in the top end. Marnus, enjoy this one here. You should appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys. It's going to be a good night.
Well done, mate.
Great to have him back. Marnus Labuschagne on the back of a series win, another Ashes campaign complete for him. We always love having him with us on ABC Sport, Marnus Labuschagne. And that's the reception for him, by the way, as he leaves us and goes and heads over to sign a few autographs. It's an amazing scene down here with people crowded around a roped-off area and the Aussie boys getting around, taking some selfies and signing some autographs, including Pat Cummins, who's out here in his whites, and Nathan Lyon, a couple of guys who have played, obviously, a key role in the series. We're on air for about another 23 minutes or so as we pull it all apart in the series. A couple of short, sharp questions as we wait for our next guest because that out time will be fast upon us. Does Travis Head stay at one?
Yes.
Yes.
Second innings, yes. Oh. First innings, I'm not so sure. If the wicket's green, and South Africa, for example, we're talking against Bangladesh, yes. Against South Africa, I think their quality of bowling is unbelievable. I don't mind him at five in the first innings. But that's just me being a little bit funky, and maybe it's too funky. Because he could do what he's done to England, where South Africa go, let's bowl short at him. They lose the new ball, but then they're smarter than that. They'll bowl better.
It's always good to get a short answer, isn't it?
Australia don't play a test until August. Is Jake Weatherald going to be there when they do?
You go first, because we'll have to work after that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a short answer. I think not.
Okay.
I think they'll... Unless Jake Weatherald actually fixes his technical deficiencies.
What about
he's too low, he's got to stand taller, and he does that and finishes the year well with a change in technique, then yes, but at the moment, no.
I don't think he will be. I think there's too much to change. I think they'll go down a different path.
I'm going to say yes, because I think he's going to finish the Shield season well.
That's what he needs, though, isn't it?
Yeah, does. And that's on that. As Buff said, he has to finish the season well.
But he also has to change his technique.
Yeah.
He's got to do that.
If he's facing a Rabada or someone quick swings in, he's getting out. He's a dead man walking.
How does he... He's got to go and see someone. Whether in point, I may come and talk to you. Like, I think you
can
help him. I'd be very quickly.
It's a quick fix for him. And this is work with him. You can fix with anyone.
It's an unusual way they'll have to pick that team. We'll work our way through that, obviously, as we advance. They don't play again till August at Test level. There's T20 World Cups before them. And, of course, a little bit of a break for our boys after a big campaign. Alex Carey has played as good as anyone in this series. He's had a magnificent campaign, the best gloveman in world cricket. And if it wasn't for a Travis Head or a Mitchell Starc, we'd be talking about him absolutely at the pointy end of the conversation for man of the series. He joins us on Grandstand Cricket. Alex, firstly, congratulations.
No, thank you. It's it's a great way to finish the series. Obviously, Usman retiring, the sun's out on the SCG, and it's day five, so it's pretty special.
How are the hands and the fingers? You've spent more time up to the stumps than just about ever before to the quicks. A magnificent performance. Congratulations on that. But how did you get through it physically?
Yeah, all good. The fingers are holding up, and I'm ready to go for Big Bash in a couple of nights' time. So it's a short turnaround. But the boys are outstanding. And for, I guess, Ness and Scotty Boland to allow me to come up to the stumps and bowl beautifully. Mitch led the way, and we had lots of contributions throughout as well.
It's not overstating it to say it's a tactic that really changed the Ashes, to be able to keep these guys back and stop them being as aggressive as they have been. When did the plan come about? When did, I guess, your preparation start, knowing that, hey, some of these guys are bowling, 140s, and I'm going to have to stand up there and take them as cleanly as you did?
Well, preparation never started, and it was pretty much in Brisbane with a pink ball. It got a little bit soft, and I was able to come up to the stumps there, and then it evolved into a pretty, well-used tactic of ours. And it allows Scotty Boland to hit his best length. It allows Ness to work into his lengths as well. And we know that a Harry Brook and those type of players like to move out and get at him. So, it wasn't one of those ones coming into the series to focus on. But I think the Australian cricket team adapts really quickly and we're able to do that as well.
Now, I had you and Trevor's man of the series, not Starkey, but don't worry about that. Mate, your batting was outstanding this series. You worked a lot on that leading into the series, their plans to you, apart from obviously getting caught, David Gower caught down leg side.
What's going on there?
What is happening there?
I don't know. I'm about a leg side. There you go. But, I feel like I'm really clear with my game and my position in the team, and to be able to come up to six was nice as well. But I think the guys, before I go out to bat, make it look pretty fun, and I try to jump on the back of that. But to be able to play a role for the team and, stand up when I needed to and when the game was sort of there was really special. It was nice. I think, the way that Travis led the batting and the way that Starkey led the bowling when we knew Cummo and Hazelwood weren't going to have a big series in terms of getting on the park was amazing.
Do you want to stay at six? We'll go up higher.
Yeah, there we go. Dizzy's always knows. I'm always telling Dizzy I want to get up the order, especially in white ball cricket. In red ball cricket, I bat five for South Australia, which Jake Lehman's made a bit of his own. So that's going to be interesting after Christmas, isn't it?
Well, just
he's peeling them off.
Down the order. Don't worry about it. You're the boss.
He can go up the top and bat like Trav. But I like batting as high as possible. Wherever that is in this team, we're pretty lucky to have... a Bo Webster come in at eight and Ness at nine. It's pretty deep batting.
Kez, just a word on Andrew McDonald and his support staff. I feel sometimes Ronnie doesn't probably get the plaudits that he deserves.
Yeah, he's very calm. He goes into the game really clear on tactics, and he's got a great way of instilling confidence in every single player and getting the best out of him. And for what he's been able to achieve the last couple of years alongside Bales, you know, big call not going in with a spinner. But I think they're really clear and they're really calm and they understand what's important and they back themselves to make those decisions. And it's come off. And again, this series, you know, there was lots of plans and options and availabilities and non-availabilities. But what Ronnie does do is the 11 that walk out there are the 11 that are going to win the game, and he makes sure that happens.
Alex, they talk about wicketkeepers being the heartbeat of the team.
And it's
going to be a tough question for you to answer, but
yeah.
Do you actually realise how important you are to this team? Because you're such a good bloke and you've always got a smile on your face, but the team functions around you. I don't know there's a captain or not, but you're such a crucial part of it, as is all wicketkeepers, but you've just gone to a next level. And I don't know, I'm trying to pay you a compliment, yeah, but also ask you a question at the same time.
I really appreciate that. It's quite hard to answer. Yeah, I love playing in this team. I love walking onto the field with the guys around me. I think Mitchell Stark, the way that he goes about it, is it's pretty easy to jump on the back when he's got the ball, and the way that Trav goes out there and plays his way, and you know what Steve's going to do. There's so many great characters. The change room's a lot of fun, and we've got some really good cricketers that make it a bit easier as well. So I really appreciate the comments. I probably don't see it as that. I'm just trying to focus on the next ball that comes my way, and hopefully I hold on to the opportunity.
Any finger damage? So you got one.
No,
you got
okay.
One, didn't you? And we were looking at it going, oh, hello, look at that little one on the right hand there.
That cops a little bit. But no, I'm good. I'm good to go. So if Tim Payne's listening, I'm looking forward to seeing you in 2 nights' time.
Alex, congratulations. We mean that sincerely. It's been a magnificent campaign by yourself personally and the entire crew. Thanks for your time, as always, on ABC Sport.
No, thanks. It has been a great summer. Again, the fans have turned out every single game. You guys have always supported us, and it's great to see your faces in the morning. So, yeah, what a summer. We'll have a couple of beers tonight and really enjoy it.
Well deserved. The best gloveman in world cricket, Alex Carey, with us on ABC Sport, and what a campaign he's had. Australia win 4-1. They win the fifth test here in Sydney by 5 wickets. The man of the match, by the way, was Travis Head. The man of the series was Mitchell Stark for his 31 wickets. Corbin Middlemass on the boundaries, or I was about to say the boundaries edge, we're in the infield, or the outfield, aren't we? And where we're standing at the moment in front of the sight screen at the Paddington end. The confetti cannon has gone off, so that'll take some cleaning up at the end, but there's a roped-off area where fans are gathered around, and you can hear them as the Australian players fulfil their media commitments and meet and greet a few lucky Aussie cricket fans as well in the process, and are signing a few autographs and taking some selfies. Corbin Middlemass, Stuart Clark, Darren Lehman, Jason Gillespie, and Ellie Mitchell is with us as well down here on at ground level. Ellie, first one to you. So we've sort of talked about the series overall and the Australian side of things and what they've been able to do and really got it done by committee. From an English point of view, this was a series, of course, that had so much promise. And it we talk about sort of Peter May's team, and Jim set this up for us in the 50s where they left England with a reputation as the strongest team that have ever been set to Australia, and they went home with a 4-0 series loss. Kind of feels like it's a similar chapter for this English team. The quickest fast bowling unit ever, the culmination of the Bazball project, and ultimately it's a 4-1 loss, and they're going home with not a whole lot to show for it.
Yeah, the fast bowlers didn't last. The bowlers that were there became very expensive. The batting unit didn't fire when it needed to. Poor decisions were made at various times. The best hundreds, the only hundreds for England, came at the back end after the Ashes have gone. And so into the batting done in a way that was against the ethos of what we were told the ethos of the team was. It has given a glimpse of the future, though. I think this last Test match here, with Jacob Bethel in particular, means that England fans will leave with a modicum of optimism, but that doesn't quite make up for the deflation that they felt when you go back to Adelaide, when the Ashes was done, inside 11 days of Ashes cricket.
Travis Head drops by for a quick chat. We won't keep him very long, but Travis, congratulations. Player of the match here in Sydney, had an outstanding series and wouldn't have looked out of place as the man of the series at the end of it. How do you feel at the end of a 5-test match series and a dominant 4-1 win?
Can relax now. But, yeah, nice. Well, probably a little bit relaxed after Adelaide, and then got the job done, which was pleasing. And then, yeah, from a personal note, it's nice to finish off the series well. You want to play in five test series, you want to finish 4 and 5 well when everyone's sort of on the fatigue side. It's been a long series. I know we haven't played many days of cricket, but the mental energy that you put into this and the sleepless nights that you run going into Perth and thinking about the what-ifs and everything, it's been taxing. And I'll come down over the next 4 or 5 days and I can reminisce now and go, okay, well, that's done, and nice to pull my finger out, get some runs and win an Ashes series again.
So every series is slightly different. When you do reflect on this Ashes series, what will you remember about it, in particular these five matches?
It was pretty carnage for most of it. She was fast-paced. It was aggressive. There was moments. It ebbed and flowed, and I just look back and go, we just won every big moment, barring probably a half an hour spell in Melbourne where I thought we had them on toast, and then we sort of lost 3 for 10, and then we lose that test. So I think we're an absolute inch away from really putting the sword down on them and potentially getting a 5-0 result. But in the back of my mind, I know how good that team was, how dangerous they could have been. And you look back to Perth and go at 1 for 100 ahead of the game, and to bring that game back, and yeah, quite easily could have changed pretty quickly in that first couple of days. So I'm very pleased.
How much do you enjoy opening, mate?
I've enjoyed it here. I think the moment of being normally 3 for 300 and walking out here and trying to, after Smudge's got 100, Marnus has filled his boots, and I come and try and get the tempo of the game on a slow wicket with everyone in front of the wicket, that's no fun batting, is it? And then I always sort of get 20 or 30 and get out. So with people behind the bat on a really, really nice wicket with a hard ball, and this outfield is lightning. So I think this was a test that I went, okay, this is cool. Brisbane, Adelaide and Melbourne last week, I thought they were pretty challenging, but to get it here is pretty cool.
And the wicket was nice to bat on?
Yeah, really good. I think they played probably differently than we expected. I think we expected what today was like 2 days ago, going by Shield cricket and whatnot. And I know there'll be debate either way on spin, no spin. We put an emphasis on runs. We felt like runs are going to be the currency. We were going to bat first, get a big total on the board, pound them with runs, pound them with the bat. We had Bo Webster at 8, and we thought it's going to go underground on the last 2 days. So those runs come pretty handy, didn't they? Slug ended up batting 9, get 70, not out, and then he pulled his finger out and got a couple with the ball as well. So I know the selection could have went either way, but the way we actually summed up what we thought it was going to do and how we wanted to win the game worked to a T, didn't it?
And you got a good ball today.
Yeah, sitting in junk time. I thought, I wonder what it would be like to be in their dressing room sometimes and play a pretty rank shot. So, yeah, me and Smithy will have. I think Jamie Smith. I'll have a beer with Jamie Smith later, and we can compare who was worse. But
I enjoyed it because you were early.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, all right. I've grinded away for 9 hits. Time to have a bit of fun.
All right. What's the celebrations? You're in charge. You're the celebration guy. What are we doing?
I don't know if I'm the fully celebration guy. I reckon Slug's got a twinkle in his eye.
Did you say Slug?
I said Slug's got it. No, I said it's more likely. I said, like, on stage, it's normally Sydney. I'll do Adelaide, and I saw it was a pretty good party in Adelaide. Don't worry about that. Sydney should be the Sydney side as should organise it, but I reckon Slug's got a twinkle in his eye, and Inglis. I've got to watch out for him tonight, so yeah. We'll have a couple behind me.
Enjoy it, Trav. You absolutely deserve it. Appreciate your time, as always. You're Australia's most popular cricketer, I think that's fair to say. Yeah, thanks for your time on ABC.
Thanks. It's nice to be popular when Pat's not around, so that's good. He'll take the reins.
Hello, Trav.
Travis Head, one of our favourites, one of Australian cricket's favourites. Absolutely. What a campaign. It's been 600 runs, 3 centuries with us on Grandstand
at
Stumps.
The good thing about that for me is that the social committee, which we have, do things. He does Adelaide, Sydney, Paddy Cummins, the Sydney boys.
Correct.
What is happening to our Sydney connection?
Well, Jim's upstairs. What's he doing?
Well, it's actually a perfect segue because I have teed this up to get Jim's take on the series. He's been the voice of summer for over 50 years here on the ABC, and so no one better to put the series in a nutshell for us. Jim, how will you remember this Ashes campaign, another 4-1 win for the Aussies?
Well, for a start, I have to thank all of you so much for making this one of the most memorable series I've ever worked on. I don't think I've had as much fun, as much laughter, and laughter is one of the most important things other than breathing. So you need to have plenty of that, and you guys have provided that. In the way you've conducted yourselves with a very fair coverage of the game and almost treating everyone in this box with some friendship, humility, good humour, bad humour sometimes. But that's what it's about, being human, you see, and we saw a lot of humanity in this series. We didn't expect a lot of what we saw because we thought England were going to really put the nail on us, particularly with a few fellas out. but it never happened. And it comes back to what happened here many, many years ago in 1952-3 when South Africa played us, and everyone thought it would be a 4-5-0 win to Australia. But you know what? South Africa caught like Australia caught in this series, and they almost stole the series. So catching is a big thing. Catching a ball, catching a meat pie or a schooner, whatever you want to catch. Make sure you catch it. And that's what England have got to do. And there's a line I used the other day when I was talking about it, and an Englishman asked me, what do you think is the difference between Australia and England as a general rule? And I said, well, Trevor Bailey was on the air with us years ago on one of his visits wearing those black stockings and sandals, typical look for a pom in Australia. And he came into the box and I said, so what is it, Trevor? What is the difference? Is it coaching? Is that the reason why Australia win more than they lose against England? And he looked at me as if I was an idiot. And he said, coaching? Coaching? It's not coaching. It's climate. And he's right. We've got a pretty good climate, and I think that helps us breed not just cricketers, but sportsmen, commentators maybe. But we've got a good vibe, and we've always had a pretty good vibe in this commentary box, and so it's been this year. So thanks to a young bloke like Ben Cameron for being able to pull it all together, despite the fact that he's rude to everyone every day, but he knows he's gonna cop the same back. So, and thanks for being my carer as well. Ben, very nice of you. And thank you to all you guys for a joyous, happy series. It's been one of the best. And I'm talking about the cricket. Australia too good. We'll leave it at that, no doubt about it. And let's hope it continues when we play again, because, again, as I've said to people just recently, the one constant about Australia over all the years that Australia's played cricket is that without doubt, and this is not boasting, this is how it is. We're a humble nation, as a rule. We have produced the best cricketers, male and female, remember that, better than anyone else. And we keep doing it. And we did it in this series without our best team. I reckon that's a pretty good accomplishment, fellas. So thanks for your heartiness and your humour.
Privilege is all ours. The voice of summer, Jim Maxwell. What an absolute icon of the game for over 50 years, and it's our thrill to be able to work with him every single day. And what a way to sum up this series. As the credits rolled, Jim did mention Ben, and we give him a lot of stick. I thought this was a beautiful way to sum it up. Peter off the SMS. Ben wouldn't put this one through on air, I'm sure. But can we get some respect for the all-rounder Benny Cameron, producer, boundary rider, wrangler, commentator? The bloke wears all hats and makes it seamless. We love Benny, don't we?
We love him. You know, my answer to that is, if we didn't like him, we wouldn't give him as much stick. If we didn't, we would just be all a bit nervous around him. But because we like him so much, we give him absolute grief. And you know what? He thoroughly deserves all the grief too, because he's just... Boof, what do you think?
Lord Farquhar is unbelievable. Yeah, he's one of the best blokes I've ever met. Looking forward to buying him a beer because he's had a big summer.
It's a pretty thankless gig at the best of times, wrangling our team together, but he does it better than anyone. And he's a relationships guy, builds relationships with people, and we reap the benefits of it. Our entire crew, so we heard Jim Maxwell there, that the voice of summer. Jonathan Agnew, every Ashes series, when we get the chance to work with him, an absolute pro. And he's such a familiar voice for many years in every Ashes series for us here on the ABC, and, of course, for the BBC for a generation. To you, Ellie Mitchell. As always, for being part of our crew, can't wait to have you back down under. What an absolute pro, a world renowned sports broadcaster, and to have Ellie every year is such a joy to be able to work with her. To Rick Finlay, our statistician, for all his work, of course, the best stats man in the business. He's got a great personality, which you're able to hear, and he shares with you on air throughout every test match as well. So hats off to you, Rick. To our entire expert commentary team, you guys that have been out there and done it. To the guys that aren't here, Tom Moody, to Phil Jakes, to Phil Tufnell, who's provided so much insight, but also a fair bit of humour. He's fitted in seamlessly in our team. We've loved having him. To you, Stuart Clark, thank you for your contributions.
Thanks, Corby, and thanks to everyone for listening. And Hopefully it didn't cause you too much grief.
In this test and always, what a guy, Stuart Clark, part of our crew on Grandstand Sport. To you, Jason Gillespie, as well, 250-plus test wickets, to have your insights, but also to, if we've got to lean on someone to know what it's like to score a double 100, it's always great to be able to lean on you.
No, thank you, Corby, and thank you, everyone. It's been an absolute honour to be part of the ABC crew this summer, and I just sincerely thank everyone so much for making me feel so part of it.
And we talk about culture, guys. Darren Lehman, you refer to yourself as our social captain, and with good reason, and we've had you for two summers now. Feels like you've been here for 20 years. We absolutely love having you part of our crew and the vibe that you set in our team. So whether it's on Summer Grandstand here on the Grandstand Career Coverage, we can't thank you enough.
No, thanks, Corby. Thanks to our listeners. More importantly, that's what we try and do, provide the best insight we can to the game itself and calling the game, and it's just an absolute honour and joy to represent the ABC and Australian cricket.
There's so many people that go into it. I know it feels like the end of the broadcast where the credits roll, but to Declan Byrne, who's a great broadcaster in his own right, and you'll hear him more, of course, on the ABC platforms going forward, but he's down here with us at ground level, and we've had various people across the country do it. That's a pretty thankless job, and yet he's here to be able to sort us out and make sure it goes off without a hitch. To Dennis Carnahan as well, who's a great personality, our technical genius. Shout out to Dennis as well, of course, and the star of the cricket musical. We're hoping to play you a little interlude of that, but don't forget to check that out if you get the opportunity. And to Nathan, who's been here throughout the test as well. To all our studio operators, this is all part of it. Adam Jones, who's always got a role to play in part of our team, of course, not just from a studio operation point of view, but also from an operational standpoint, he's an absolute star. To Aaron Bryans and to Akash and Mitch, who have been in the studio throughout the test match so far. Our socials producer in Jared Ryan, who puts up all that great content that you check out at ABC Sport. To Fletcher, Damo and Furch throughout the series. To Tim Verrill, our EP on ABC Sport. Be busy taking care of us a lot of the time, and yet he does it with class. So thank you so much to Tim. And to Andrea Williamson as well, who's another jack of all trades, who anything we need, the answer to any question, Andrea's got it. And the Australians had every answer right throughout this Ashes campaign.
And you've forgotten one person. Yourself. Thank you to you, mate, for everything you do, from Boof and Dizzy, myself, yep, and everyone up there.
100%.
You do so much behind the scenes.
Well
mate,
done.
And thank you, mate. Really
thanks,
appreciate
well
it. You're a great man and a great broadcaster.
Australia 4-1. They win the Ashes comprehensively.